Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I am your host. My name is Chris Richardson. For those of you who are joining for the very first time, I want to welcome you to tonight's show. Tonight we're going to talk about the subject of happy hour. Well, we'll tweak to it. Happy hour, should married folk is the question. Should married folk go to happy hour by themselves? Yeah. Should married folk go to happy hour by themselves? Listen, the number to join us tonight is 619-924-0869. That's 619-924-0869. Call in tonight, share your thoughts, your opinions. Tonight's a one-hour show from 9 p.m. till 10 that we'll be rolling. I've got some co-hosts that will be joining me shortly. But we're going to get the party started. For those of you who are joining for the very first time, again, I've already done the introduction of who I am. This show was created several years back. Really, the focus on it was to help people have holistic, healthy relationships. When you are better, we are better. It's whether that means better father, better aunt, uncle, sister, brother, whatever the case may be. It begins with you and ends with you. So if you don't change, neither will your circumstance or situation. So it's important that we take the right approach to learning the word of truth. Now, this is more so a Christian-based show. We do base our discussion around Christian principles and truth to that. So when I refer to truth, that's what I'm talking about, the truth, not the word on the street as it being the truth. But nonetheless, I want to hear from you all tonight. So if you're listening online, if you're on the line right now, you can tune in to our Facebook group as well. We have a chat group that's going on in there, and that's the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. So feel free to go over to Facebook and join the group page. Again, that's the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Love to hear from you and talk with you tonight on the subject is, should married folk go to happy hour? You know, I'm one of those guys that, I believe that everybody has the, you can do what you want to do. You know, at the end of the day, I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. So what may work for you may not necessarily work for me. However, the happy hour environment, it's typical. So typically when people go to a happy hour, there's usually, you know, the looking for, you know, having a good time, hanging out, drinking. There's some food that's associated with it as well. But then some people are going for the agenda. So you may ask, what is the agenda? Well, that's defined by the person, and that may be in the mood that they're in. So it's the environment that it's set by. You know, sometimes happy hours have great music, to each his own. Sometimes happy hours have they're well attended with a lot of drinks. It's at a bar. It's a setting that promotes, you know, anything goes, if you will. It promotes an atmosphere of fun. It promotes an atmosphere of entertainment. But at the end of the day, the question still comes down to, should married folk go to happy hour? So I did a little research, and for those of you who do know me, I always like to find out where the term come from. I always believe that what you ultimately don't define pretty much will define you. So it's curious to know, where did happy hour originate from? And I found a little bit, just that, you know, happy hour originated back in the 1920s. Okay, in the First World War, from a naval slang. It was a Navy slang, a happy hour. So a happy hour was the allotted period of time that sailors were able to engage off of the ship for various forms of entertainment to relieve themselves of their monotonies from being on the ship, from being cooped up. So they went and they had, you know, a happy hour, if you will. So that's what I found. The origin of happy hour came about. And it was, you know, during that time, again, of the First World War. So, again, it brings back the question. So I want to hear from you, 619-924-0869. Join me tonight and dial in. You can press 1 on your phone. Again, should marry folks. So when I think about going to happy hour, now I used to work several years back. I used to work at a location, a popular spot in D.C. It was known for great fun, entertainment. You know, they turned out, you know, a lot of celebrities. They had, you know, you got your ball players that came through here. You had your actors and actresses that would come through. And so it was known for that kind of chemistry, that environment that was conducive to people networking. Now, some people, on that note, go to happy hour for the networking purposes. But again, we're not just talking about some people. The question rises that's on the table is married folk. So what's the harm in it, I guess? Well, again, to each his own. The harm that, for some, depends on who you are. And I always say you got to know your player to know the game that you're playing. And it's important. It comes down to a trust factor. And some people will say, hey, you know, it's okay. And then other people, they're, you know, they don't do anything. So, you know, again, this is no judgment. But for me, it doesn't necessarily work. Now, here's what I would say to that. Now, me just going to a happy hour to hang out, that's not necessarily going to happen. Now, if there is an environment where it's at a hotel club, a hotel restaurant, and it just so happened to be a mixer, let's say it's Black Caucus or something like that, that may be a little bit different than going to, you know, a lounge after work, you know, just to get your happy on. But is that really all that you're doing? Some may say, many men, and in some cases women, okay, take their rings off when they go to happy hour. They take their rings off when they go to happy hour. So that would say that they're going with the purpose of finding a hookup. Inquiring minds want to know. So, you know, what are your thoughts on a happy hour piece? Now, interesting enough that it's termed happy hour. You know, and we talked about where happy hour comes from. But I think we live in a country now, sadly to say, that it's rooted in the pursuit of happiness. Everybody just wants to be happy. I'm not sure where that says that that can be scripturally supported. You know, when you think about happy and being your happiness, you know, a couple of weeks ago I had an opportunity in the class that I was in to put together something for the class. And so, you know, I thought as I was looking at this a little bit more introspectively, what's the issue with someone wanting to have happiness? Well, it's being that as the pursuit. Now, some of you all may remember the movie back in 2005 with Will Smith, The Pursuit of Happiness. And, you know, Will was a father, you know, went through a lot of life issues and up and down. And every time he seemed that he was in the midst of finding his happiness, it continued to elude him. So he had some struggles. Many of us can relate to, we struggle too, you know, with various things in our lives. So, you know, the way this is spelled, that happiness is spelled with a Y, H-A-P-P-Y-N-E-S. So, you know, I'm just curious to know, the pursuit of happiness, is that what life's really about? We go to a happy hour looking for something to make us happy. But my question then is, if happiness based on something circumstantial, isn't happiness based on something that makes you feel good? So, you know, you go to happy hour wanting to feel good for the moment, but it doesn't last because it's only an hour. And I think that a lot of times we try to package things in reality for ourselves that sometimes we don't want to face our present-day reality because it would require that we do some real work, that we would do some work working from the inside out of trying to find the root of the issue, not just to pacify it with a happy hour. So a couple things that I came up with. I thought that with, you know, our culture, you know, the way we define something, as I said in the beginning part of the show, that like, yo, what you don't define, it's ultimately going to define you, whether you agree with it or not. But I think we place meanings on certain things. And in this case, I think with the happiness as being the key here, we place the wrong meaning on the word happiness. You know, we place a lot of emphasis on the things that are superficial. Now, happiness, by definition, it means contentment, satisfaction. So what I've learned over time is that, for me, you know, when I seek happiness and pleasure and contentment and satisfaction with a worldly meaning and a superficial thing, I'm never satisfied. So even though you're going to a happy hour, or whatever your agenda may be, maybe it's a networking thing, and is that really fulfilling you for the moment? Or is just pacifying it for the moment? Well, being that I'm never satisfied, I always say when I feed my flesh in the world, it can never get enough. However, conversely, if I feed my spirit with the Word of God, it can never have enough. My question for you is, what are you feeding? Are you feeding your flesh or are you feeding your spirit? Because at the end of the day, whatever you feed, it's going to grow. So if you go to happy hour, and you're saying, hey, in the moment, I'm good, I'm happy, everything it feels good. I just want to know, you know, what's the agenda, what's the purpose? you know, again, no heaven or hell, no judgment. But I'm not, certain environments I think are conducive to certain things. Now, I'm not superstitious or anything like that, but I believe that, you know, you resist or you try to position yourself in a situation where you're not compromising yourself. And so that's the challenge there. I mean, you go to a happy hour, if you're single ladies, okay, let me talk to the married ladies, I should say. You go to a happy hour and you take your ring off, or you walk in with your ring. It don't mean nothing today. You can have a ring on your finger, and for the guys, the same thing. You can go into a happy hour with a ring, but that symbolizes, especially when you're at the bar, you're having a good time, you're out to be see and be seen. See and be seen. Well, if you're married, what you trying to see? You know, you done said I do. So what you need to see, isn't it what you need to see at home already? You know, and so, you know, I guess, again, I ask the question, help me out. Maybe I'm a little bit naive in this matter. Should married folk go to happy hour? Again, no judgment. I always say that again. But I'm curious to know what your thoughts or beliefs are. So 619-924-0869. Join me tonight for the call. Just press number one. I've got a few callers that are out there on the line. If you want to share a comment or thought, what are your views and beliefs? Again, remember, I always say this, that beliefs and values control behavior. So at the end of the day, it's, you know, what you believe is what you will do. I know Dr. Parker once said, and he says this, that, you know, for both men and as well as women, what you don't talk out, you'll act out. So a lot of times people will go to a happy hour event to try to talk out something, but in reality, lo and behold, you're acting out something. In some cases, you're maybe acting out your fantasy, because in your mind, you like what you have at home, but it's like a ring for a woman. Ladies, work with me on this one. You may have a nice diamond on your hand, but as soon as you see a sister with a nice looking rock on her hand, or you see something in the store, you're like, ooh, that looks good. Because, you know, you're attracted to things that look good. Well, conversely, for the fellas, he may like the diamond, but it's not on his hand. It's a part of her. And so he's attracted to something that looks good. Same thing. And as we say, we always say, what may glitter in front of you, everything that glitters ain't always gold. Hey, we got a caller at 301-332. You're live. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and share your thoughts and comments for the show.
Well, thank you. My name is Davy Jones, and I love your topic tonight. You are making some very good points. Yeah. And I think for me, the biggest thing is, you're right, why are you at the happy hour? But I don't think across the board it should be, well, you can't go to a happy hour, because I've been married and I've been at happy hours, and they were mostly someone's birthday or things of that nature. So I've always participated with, you know, friends and family. So in that case, okay, yeah. But again, you are exactly right. If you're married and you take your ring off and you go looking, then you're not happy at home. So then you got to go on and take into consideration that it's bigger than a happy hour. Time for a change in your life.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so spot on. I mean, the reality is that you're looking in the mirror, but you're not facing what's in front of you. The truth is what's in front of you, and you're avoiding it. And so, you know, the reality to that is a lot of people do, Jamie, attend something because they don't like what's on their hand. You know, mm-hmm. And I use the analogy trying to compare it, and I was hoping the females wouldn't beat me up too much on it, but I've always seen behaviorally, you know, I watch behavior. I can tell you about behavior all day, even my own. You know, I can see when we do things, it's a root of something. And so it's like, you know, I want to feel accepted. I want to feel appreciated. I want to feel valued. And it's not to say that the ring on your hand, you don't feel that. But deep down inside, it's always a yearning. And remember, I used that analogy in the beginning. When I feed my flesh, it can never get enough. But if I feed my spirit, it can never have enough. The question is, what's it going to be? You know? And if I'm going to happy hour, I'm feeding something. And so it's that thing called the eye gate, the ear gate. You know, I see things, I hear things. And you're right. I agree with you in saying, hey, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it in certain environments. But you got to know your environment. You got to know your player. And you really got to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if I have an addiction to alcohol, well, I have an addiction to sex, you know, for whatever the matter is, and I'm real flirtatious, and I want to go by myself, that's a problem. Calling on the carpet for what it is, like, hey, time out, flag on the play, man down. That can be detrimental to any healthy relationship, or if the relationship is already starting to have, you know, its ups and downs. Look, I want to just be real clear. There's not a relationship on earth that doesn't have a problem. Even, and we can go back to the biblical days, even Jesus had problems while he was here, right? So we know that even when we walk this earth, we're always going to have some challenges and some things that we'll have to deal with. But the real true test of character is how you work it out in the end.
Yeah.
That's the true measurement of character. It's not what happens when somebody's looking at you. It's what you do when the lights are off or the doors close. What you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, would you agree with me?
I totally agree.
I'm just curious, you know, on this. So the topic is one that, you know, I think that a lot of people don't really want to talk about it, you know, honestly, because it's when you start talking about things like this, and, you know, it's somewhat innocent, but it requires you to try to look introspectively to say, hey, I'm going every week. I'm just asking you the question, if you marry. You're single, okay, cool. You know, that's your thing. Do you? Hey, now, I'm not judging you because at the end of the day, for me, I just didn't do the clubs. I just didn't do that type of environment because what am I looking for? You know, and so, you know, for the single person, let me come to the single person for a second there. If you're not dating and if you're not looking to date and you just want to go out and have fun, I get you. But I would also challenge you and ask you the question is what you're really going for? Because underneath the hood, there's something that wants to get started. You see what I'm saying? So it depends on what you want to get started. You know, if you want to feed, there is a desire, there is an agenda. And so you just got to be careful what you promote, because sometimes when you don't say things, you're ultimately saying something. Okay, here you go. Say it like this. It's Jamie, right?
JB.
Was it Jamie? JB?
JB.
Okay, so
JB.
Let's say...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say you saw one of your good friend's husbands at happy hour, right? And the husband was there by himself. You'd be like, you probably going to feel a certain kind of way knowing, yeah, y'all friends and everything, knowing. But you'd be like, okay, I'm going to look out for my girl because, you know, what's really going on? And let's say it like this. Especially if you know she done told you a few things where you may be having some challenges, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And so it's just like, you know, you got one eye open, and trust and believe the other one ain't closed. It's on him. And not that that's necessarily your business, you know what I mean, at all. I get it. But at the same time, the question is, what's really going on? You know? And last, I found this out sometimes the hard way. What you do in the dark will come to light.
Always.
So just remember, always, thing called karma comes back around full circle. Whether you want to accept it as your reality or not, it's coming. It's gonna come back around. So, you know, I think what we have to do is stop playing games with ourselves and be honest, be open, be real, and really truly have a courageous conversation with ourselves. Like, what's my real agenda here? You know, if I'm going. And again, JB, I agree with you. If you're going for it's work, you're going with a couple of coworkers, and it's an environment that's conducive to networking, you have to know yourself, you know, at the end of the day. But here's the thing, if you see your pastor at happy hour, what you going to say then? Like, hold on now.
I've actually witnessed that before, so that was a very awkward position. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that part.
I appreciate you sharing. And a lot of people go for different reasons. Like, some people go, you know, like, it's football season, right? So we know that you get a lot of people, a lot of fans and spectators who want to go out and enjoy themselves, be in an atmosphere to where they can be around other people, they can network, and they can share in football. But all I'm saying is that sometimes what seems to be so innocent is the devil's playground. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
And, again, I'm not I'm not judging. I'm just saying you just got to watch. Look, if you're going across the street, you look where you're going, right? Before you step out in traffic, you make sure there's no cars coming. All I'm saying is before you step out there into an environment like that, you better watch and make sure what's coming at you. Because everything that smiles at you, that looks good, ain't always good for you. We've heard all the innuendos and everything like that. Just trust and believe. The enemy knows how to bring you a package that you like. And you just be like, well, it was just an innocent conversation and everything was good. Yeah, but now what you got to deal with the eye gate, the ear gate, because now the thoughts that come in your head, like, dude, oh, wow, she was fine. Oh, man, did you see that? That man, he was hot, whatever that it might be. Mm-hmm. And so it might be a little cute, but guess what? We all like a little bit of banter. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows, this is sad to say, everybody wants to know, I still got it. You know?
You still got it.
I still kind of got it. You know what I mean? No matter how old you get, what I found, and I'll be 45 here in a couple months, I found that, you know, it don't hurt if somebody looks. You know what I'm saying? The problem is when you look too long and you desire to touch, you know, and that creates the challenge. So, listen, I'm here for y'all all night until 10 o'clock, 619-924-0869. We want to talk about this thing called happy hour. How do you really feel about this thing? I mean, is it just a cover-up to go out and have some fun, a good time for your sinful desires? I mean, again, some of it's innocent. Some of it's just fun to get out. But how much getting out do you need? If it's something that, you know, let's define it. If it's something that you have to do that you're doing on a regular basis or you're doing twice a week, but you're married in the name of networking, why can't you take your spouse with you? Is that an issue? What do you think, JB?
Well, I know personally that a person asks their spouse over and over to go to these type of events and just to go out and have a good time, maybe do a little dancing, and they never wanted to go. They never wanted to partake in any type of entertainment or, you know, outside the home. They just wanted to be a homebody. And so the person decided, well, hey, I need some outside, you know, extracurricular activities. So they would go without them, but they really did want to go with their spouse. And you run into that, too, and I think it goes back to the communication is starting to break down because in a relationship, it's not always about what you want. Sometimes you got to do something, if it's not anything that's really bad, you got to do something to please the other person. And so I think a lot of times people start going out looking for other outlets because the person that is their spouse is not willing to, you know, do some things with them that they desire to do.
And that's one of those delicate things that you really have to be careful of because what it is that you'll start off, there's a seed that is planted, and then they'll be like, well, you never want to do the things I like to do. And then as you go out to these events, you see people that are doing things that you like to do.
And they're doing
so
it together.
They're doing it together, right. And then lo and behold, you start to see them more often. So what happens is where you initially had your guard up, now that you've seen them a couple times, you bring your guard down. Like you take somebody in the workplace, right? You initially go into a new work environment. You're going to be guarded a little bit, continue to really get to know people. Then you start to feel a little comfortable. And that's where the opportunity is for the opportunity for things to go wrong is when you start getting real comfortable. And, you know, drink mixed in that environment, I don't drink. So I know what I'm doing at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you take a drink or a couple drinks mixed together in that environment with a little bit of music and a little seductiveness, hey, it may be on and popping. I'm just saying, you know, again, you got to know if we're going to be an adult, we can't play childhood games. Be real what you're dealing with and call it for what it is, you know. So that's, for me, that's not something I'm going to do on a regular basis. I just, but again, to each his own, you know, if that's what you want to do, I'm just saying, depending on what side of the street you want to be on, if you're going to be on straight gate, stay on straight street. If you're going to go on the, you know, crooked boulevard, then go over on crooked boulevard, but just call it what it is and don't play games, you know, and be real that if you're going by yourself, because your spouse doesn't want to get out. Like, okay, let me give you an example. I like to hand dance. Now, my fiance, she likes to dance as well. We go. We haven't gone together. It's been a minute. So if she doesn't want to go, I know when I go out to hand dance in the DMV area, I've been doing this for a while, so I'm not going to hook up with somebody. But that's not an environment that's conducive, similar to, quote, unquote, if someone may make the argument, let me just paraphrase that real quick. I know someone may make that parallel. But, JB, that's the same type of environment as a happy hour. Now, you got music involved, right? We can agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of a grown environment. Now, notice I didn't add the grown and sexy environment because there's some old hands that I certainly don't want. You feel
yeah.
me?
Exactly.
Yeah, so
exactly.
Like,
I'm
totally yeah, you, now, we I can go out, we can dance, have a good time.
Well, I hand dance like, also, so I do understand that whole environment. But for me,
mm-hmm.
the hand dance was a class that a lot of us put together. So when you go hand dancing sometimes, for the most part, you with people that you learn how to dance with, you're all friends. So I kind of interpret that a little bit different than just going out to hang out at happy hour per se.
Right. Right.
But, again, it can still turn into something else. But for the most part, that's almost like going
right.
to aerobics class. You know, everybody's going for the exercise.
Right.
Everybody knows each other. It's almost like a community kind of a thing. So
I view that
a little bit different. Yeah.
Differently. And I'm right there with you because we've had the experience and we've experienced it to know the difference. Someone from the outside who may not have had that experience for themselves may know, hey, yeah, you could, you know, but, again, this is something that we speak from the level of experience. Now, if we were going to salsa, that might be a little different with merengue and everything because here's the challenge with that. You're getting real close and seductive, and it can be physical. But, again, you got to know you. And that's what I'm really
yeah.
saying here tonight. I mean, you know, just know who you are and don't play games with yourself. Don't play games with your spouse, you know. I had a buddy earlier. We were talking about the subject, and he said, you know, I'm trying to make the correlation that he had made. We were talking about, like, single folk, and then he gave an example for, what did he say? Hold on. Let me think. Now, I'm having a senior moment. Can I claim that now? I'm having a senior moment. I know he used an example with the married folk where, you know, this is the example he gave with the married folk. He was saying, like single folk in the sense of, with the happy hour piece, you know, going to a happy hour had to be, you know, careful because you could be out what it could be construed at. I'm missing my point there. But this is what he said for the married folk. He said,
mm-hmm.
you and your spouse can go to, if y'all want to, you all can go to a strip club together, but with your spouse. And I was like, bruh, I don't know if you want to make that correlation because that doesn't necessarily make it right because now you're going to a strip club with your spouse. I get it, but then, if you're going there, you're opening up more than just your eyes. You're saying you're opening up a whole lot more that you're exposing yourself to. Now, again, you would say to each his own. But remember, we started off on the premise of the show talking about this was a Christian-based platform. So if I'm going to a strip club, you know, I'm certainly not thinking. That might just be like saying, let's go swing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is be careful. The messaging of what I'm saying is really just be careful of what you find yourself getting into because some streets you cross, you may not come back the same way. That's all
that's
I'm saying.
True.
You know,
true.
That's really it. So I try, you know, look, I'm one of those jokers that's straight all the time about this and that, but I try not to subject myself to putting myself in an environment to where I might have to compromise my witness. Because at the end of the day, look, I know everybody have a different vice. But you trust and believe, you better know what your vice is. And if you won't play with it, it's going to lick you back in the mouth. My buddy used to say this, JB. He used to say, if you give a devil an inch, he wants a yard. If you give him a yard, he wants a mile. If you give him a mile, he'll lick you in the mouth. I was like, wow, I never, you know, so I looked at it differently. Now, when I think about it now with the perspective of that, I'm like, I don't really want him licking me in my mouth, you know. But I'm exposing myself to an environment like that. So what happens is that it now it's a challenge because now is my true character coming out or is my character being tested in this whole thing? Well, again, and it's nothing wrong with a little innocent game, but I can hang out with the fellas. Like, say, let's say there's – what are those, a green turtle? you got those spots that, you know, that I wouldn't necessarily consider that to be a happy hour. You're, you know, watching a game, you're socializing in that environment. It's different than if you were going to, quote unquote, the park. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? JD, you with me?
I'm sorry. Say that again for the last part I didn't hear.
Oh, no, I was just saying the comparison was, I was saying if you take the somebody who's going to Green Turtle and watch football game, I would take that as a little different socialization. Being out and being social, I wouldn't consider that necessarily the happy hour because the environment and the setting is different than if you were going downtown to the park on 14th Street. You follow
exactly.
me?
Exactly. I totally agree.
Right.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say that I do that myself. I'm very much a football person, and I do like to go to different places and enjoy the football game. And most of the time, it's, again, people that we've been doing it for years, we know each other, we're all like friends and family or whatever. So I consider that different than a happy hour also.
Right. So I started with one point that I gave you all. We were talking about initially, let's tie this back into the happy part. I talked about happy hour, the origin of happy hour. I used an example with the pursuit of happiness, as I told you the story with that. I think that we've got the message wrong about happiness. A lot of people today, the whole focus is about, yo, whatever makes you happy, dude. You know, and I said, find that in the Bible. I can't find that anywhere, whatever makes me happy. By any means. I don't know about you. Again, I don't claim to be a biblical scholar, but I do consider myself to be studied a little bit. I just don't find that. Now, the second thing we've done is we've placed the wrong message on happiness. And I think we talk about let's go to the happy hour, let's be happy, and that's become the primary focus. So what's happened is we've perpetuated that message so much to the point that that's the end goal. So, you know, JB, like everybody's just saying, yo, I want to be happy. I'm with this dude right now. I'm not happy. I'm with this female. And so what happens, we go from relationship to relationship because we're broken to begin with. Anytime you take two imperfect people and bring them together, you got some chemistry right there. And I'm saying chemistry because everybody has baggage. I don't care who you are. Everybody brings baggage. Because what happens is this. When you've been in one environment where you've been traumatized or stigmatized, it takes a while for that to for you to refurbish, to reshape, rezone, restructure, all of that, to rebuild, you know what I mean? And so you learn, I'm giving you all the reads. You see that, JB, the reframe. You're reframing all of that. And it takes a conscious effort, but it also takes us to be, you have to be taught how to do that in many instances. One of the classes I'm teaching is at a church that I'm teaching for on healthy relationships. And we were talking, somebody used an example. Brother Bill had used an example about, you know, he said he caught a lot of things versus him being taught things. You know the difference. He caught it, meaning that he saw it by example, or he saw that he thought that was the right example, but ultimately just because you caught it doesn't mean that you were taught how to apply it. And so we have to get the knowledge, not only the knowledge, but the wisdom that goes with that and the understanding to know how to apply it. And so when you're in a relationship, and we're talking about the messages being all about happiness, you're going to find yourself up in for a rude awakening because at the end of the day, people have a tendency to let you down. You know, and I don't think people always let you down. I said they have the tendency to let you down. But, you know, again, I don't know anywhere in Scripture where it says put your trust in man. Because Scripture says lean not to your own understanding and instinct, right? And in all your ways, acknowledge him. So your trust is to be in God, not into man, because your husband or your wife has the tendency or the propensity to let you down and end day. But if my faith is on the other side, my faith is whole, okay? And sometimes we have broken faith. Some of us have a different measure of faith. And, again, we are looking for one little hour to come together and feel like that's our hour of power. So I'm saying this in the messaging in that, we put the wrong affiliation, the wrong attachment in the message of happy hour when we're really not happy on the inside to begin with. Now, happiness on the inside is this thing called joy. Joy is a thing that's inward and eternal, okay? And it only comes from having a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And so you got to know, again, it's a Christian-based show. I don't make any apologies for it, but let me just be real that if you want to find your happiness, it's got to be in the source that gives happiness, and that is the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. So I just want you to know that happiness cannot be the end goal. If you're going to a happy hour thinking I'm going to be connected to friends, habits, all that, and especially if you marry and you're there, my question to you is what you're really looking for. What you really looking
really,
for, because all
do
you
they even know what they're looking for.
Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, JB. No, they probably don't know what they're looking for, and that's the sad part about it, because we become a wandering generality being tossed to and from. You know, looking for something. It's like we're looking for love, as you say, in all the wrong places. I asked this question the other day in the class. The question I asked, JB, I said, how many people, the first class I taught was on love. And I said, how many people have been hurt by love? And the number of hands went up. Every hand went up in a room. I said, think about my question. How many people have been hurt by love? See, at the end of the day, God is love. God so loved the world that he gave. So the first thing he did was give to you. He didn't take anything from you. Love didn't hurt you. It was something, you were hurt in the name of love. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So you following? So we go to those happy hour pieces. We go to the happy hour looking for the hour of our happiness. And so being that you married, my spouse is supposed to, she ain't my end-all, be-all. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to be ride or die together. You know what I'm saying? And so I get it. Some people, the person, you may start off one way and things can change. What I've learned over time is that ultimately God is going to have his way at the end of the day. And so if I'm feeding my will, I'm going to mess it up. I'm just asking you, when you go to the happy hour, what you feeding? What are you feeding? We already defined, JB said, what are you looking for? And I'm just asking now that if you're looking for it, what are you feeding it if you found it? Sometimes we don't know a good thing when we have it. This old saying, you know, the old people used to say, baby, you don't know a good thing until it's gone. We don't know how to appreciate something. So I'm just saying, when you marry, you got to make that thing work, and it takes work. A friend, I've already quoted on Dr. Johnny Parker, I would say relationships are hard work, relationships are hard work, relationships take work, and relationships are worth the work. You were never put here to be on this earth to be by yourself. Absolutely. Oh, I love that quote, too. You were never put here to be by yourself. Now, when I say by yourself, I'm not saying that you were called marriage, because somebody might be a eunuch. I'm saying that you are called to relationships with others in this. So, yeah, okay, you're going to a happy hour. I'm just saying, be careful where you go, because you can go to church and find yourself in an environment that's conducive to the same thing, because we are people that are made up, we flesh. You know, and so that flesh gets in there, and so no matter whether you were at the church or whether you were at the bar, you know, the agenda can still be the agenda. You know, so all I'm saying is, and I say to the fellas, you know, don't put up a false advertisement. To the ladies, don't open up your legs. Should I play the organ on that one, JB? What you think?
Yeah. I heard from someone this statement I thought was very powerful. Don't be a playmate. Be a soulmate.
Yeah. I like that. Don't be a playmate. You know, absolutely. Absolutely. I like that. And that's the thing, though. We go out, and because we've been playing for so long, we don't know how to take the batteries out. You know, because this is what we do. And in some instances, I'm not going to go there. Some people put the batteries in for other things, even though they are still married. It's like, hey, we're going to use the battery tonight. All right. So, you know what I'm saying? I just felt I would make that turn and come down that street, too. Poor folks, all I'm saying is that to each his own. And at the end of the day, it's the meaning and the message. And the last point I want to make before I bring my partner, Toy, on with us is that don't place the mission on happiness. Remember the movie I was talking about with Will Smith?
Yeah.
We got to conclude that happiness is attached circumstantially to things. Happiness is something that you can go to happy hour, you can go all these other different places seeking happy. But happiness, well, if that's your sole mission, you'll find yourself really disappointed, because happiness is temporary. But as I said about earlier, joy is that thing that's internal and external, and it only comes from having that relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is the filler of joy. So all I just want you to know is that his plan was never for you to be fine as your sole mission to be happy. His plan was that you'd be reminded that that you are to serve him, and in him you would find an abundance of joy. And so there's a scripture that Nehemiah talked about, and he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm smiling with that because the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, so I just want to say to you guys that it's the reason why you can't find your happiness in the happy hour. You can't find your happiness because that's because you're spelling it the wrong way. Like the pursuit of happiness, you're spelling it with a Y instead of an I, and you're looking for it in the wrong place. You're looking for it. I said this example when I gave this lesson, that, you know, ladies buy a pair of shoes for the day. You're happy until you realize they hurt your feet. And then you get mad because, wait a minute, these jokers were so cute, girl. You know, those shoes, yeah, but they hurt my feet. So you up there squinched up right now looking cute, but your feet hurt. You ain't happy no more because you just spent on these Louis or whatever you just bought, these red bottoms. You spent a lot of little money trying to be cute, but now you ain't happy because they hurt your feet. And then you're going to take them back tomorrow if you got them from Nordstrom's. Come on, somebody. I'm just saying. So we've been attached to the wrong meeting. And I come for the fellas, too. The fellas, it's like this. JB, to what y'all can relate to, the fellas like to watch a good game. The minute their team is winning, they're excited. The minute the team doesn't do it so well, they're not so happy and excited. They just be like, yo, come on, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, being in this area, you see that you're either a Ravens fan, likely, or you're a Redskins fan, or some people are a Dallas fan. So I'm a Steelers fan altogether, you know. But nonetheless, the Ravens lost this week to the Steelers, to the Redskins. The Ravens fans aren't happy right now, but the Redskins fans are ecstatic because they won two games back-to-back, so they're real happy. But they know deep down inside, as the Redskins fans, the coaching staff and the play calling is inadequate. So some things have to change because they know that they can't go – they're not going to go the distance playing at that level. Okay? So that's the reality of it. So we can't connect our happiness to the happy hour. We can't connect our happiness to the wrong meaning, the wrong message, and the wrong mission. To find our happiness, we got to connect it to Christ. And he is the fulfiller and the sustainer our source of happiness comes from, because he says he'll give us joy, and that's an inward thing. So I digress.
JV, I'm going to introduce you.
Come on, preacher. Now, that's right. Everything else will fall into play with the joy. Toy, what are your thoughts, comments?
Well, I definitely agree with everything you just shared, and the other element that I want to add to that is that we forget that we're, according to Scripture, we have all patience, and a lot of times when we go to these happy hours, it's because we lack the patience to wait on what God is trying to do with us in our lives, and instead of working on ourselves, we're busy trying to work on other people in a happy hour that is not necessarily happy. So, you know, when we talk about this happy hour, we have to put it into the context of really it's an unhappy hour because people are looking for something that they don't even realize is already inside of them, because when the joy of the Lord is your strength, you already understand that that is an internal force that is coming from the inside out, not from the outside in, based on an external situation or conversation or a brush by or somebody buys you a drink and now you feel better about yourself because you didn't have enough of God in you in that moment to realize that you didn't need anyone to buy you a drink to make you feel good about yourself, because you feel better about yourself because you know who God is and who he is through you. So when you are not in touch with your identity as a person, that is when you seek that happiness outside of yourself in order to obtain something which you already have. But that's because you still don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, that's what we really have to look at. And so it's just so much deeper than the surface. And that's why the social media and the meetups and all this other stuff is great and all, but at the end of the day, if you don't know who you are, even when you go meet up, you're going to end up meeting the same thing that over and over and over again, which is an incomplete person. Because these people are meeting up because there's something missing. There's a void in a lot of cases. Now, there are some meetups that are just for networking, and that's great. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the meetups, the hookups, and all that other kind of stuff. So let's call a spade a spade. It's because you're not complete. And the only way for completion is perfection in Christ, and that's when you're whole. So we always have to go inward and soar is what I call it. So when we take the time to look introspectively into our own lives so that we can identify those things that we need to heal within ourselves, then you can be whole, and then you won't even see the need to be in a happy hour because you're already happy.
Amen.
Hey, JB, Toy always has a way of bringing the fire. We call her the Thunderbird. So she machine guns, you know, brings it like a hot, drops it.
Yes.
I can't even make the sound of a machine gun. But so that's what we do when Toy comes on the show. JB, this is all we do. We just do this right here. Listen to this. She always brings a real and relevant message, though. That's why I love having her on the show, because her message is so raw, it's so real, and her words speak truth to life. You know what I mean? And that really makes it, it's not that it just makes good radio, it makes good sense, you know, and it's truth.
Thank you.
It's truth. So, yeah, it's always a pleasure. So we're just talking about, you know, people going to happy hour, and my question was really married folk. You know, we came to the conclusion earlier, we agreed consensus-wise, and look, you just got to know who you are, as you said, identity-wise. Know who you are and really what you're going for, because if there's an agenda that's underneath of that, call it for what it is. If you're not happy internally, something externally is not going to fulfill you. You're going to always come up empty, or when you get it, it's not going to be what you thought it was. You never had something before when you got your, you know, I'm going to keep this, I was going somewhere, but I'm going to keep this PG, okay? You ever got somewhere where you know, driving was overrated after a while? When you first turned 16, you was all excited to drive and everything, and then later on when you got a little bit older, you're like, you know what, it's kind of overrated. It ain't what it was what I thought it was all about. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can relate to that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was good. I did much better on that, because I was going to talk about people. You ever been with somebody who wasn't supposed to be what you thought? You weren't supposed to be there anyway, but you hooked up with that person, and now you're like, you know what, this wasn't where I was supposed to be, and this ain't the way it was supposed to be. Okay, that's what I really want to go with that, but, you know, I try to keep that cleaned up. But anyway, all right, see, Toy, what you do, you caused me to go there, and I just went there. So I'm going to put that on you.
That's all right. That's all right. It's all right. I'll take it.
You know. Yeah, but at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, we just really want you to know why you do what you do. And when you look at things, and I made a playful kind of, you know, banter off of happy hour, play on words, if you will, do that. But the root of it comes down to your rightful relationship with Christ. And the absence of that, your fruit falls from a tree. And you should be able to see what the fruit looks like based on the tree that it's attached to. I'm just saying, if you connected and attached to happy hour more than you're connected to and attached to Jesus, maybe wonder why that your fruit's not growing. Maybe that's why your marriage isn't growing. Maybe that's why your spouse is having challenges with you. Fellas, I always say this, a woman's not going to follow a parked car. Ladies, I just want to tell you, too, that if he's leading him, take your mouth off of him. If he's leading you in a direction and saying, babe, here's the plan, here's the outline, here's the agenda, and he's giving you all that, then what you've got to do is be Proverbs 31, not 17, okay? Just be the Proverbs 31 woman. And so, fellas, what you have to do in order to know the Proverbs 31 woman, you got to be the man who starts at Genesis. Start at your beginning and know your rightful place. I like something Dr. Jazz said over this past weekend. I'm going to share it with y'all. She said that the reason why so many people get poked up, Adam called out one man. He knew she was a woman. He knew everything else, the dogs, the cats, all that. See, the problem is that y'all don't know who y'all are. That's why you're hooking up with anybody. And so you keep hooking up with dogs because you don't know the origin of your true sense of who you really are. All I'm just saying is get back to your roots. And if you can do that, and I'm not saying to your African ancestry, and I'm not saying all that. I'm just saying to be at your highest and best use to find out who you are. Seek your purpose. And the only way that you can truly seek your purpose and your identity is in Christ. And you have to really get back to doing that, which is find that. So here's the thing. Let's say maybe somebody's asking a question. I get you, Chris, but I ain't really feeling all that. All I'm saying, brothers and sisters, if you're listening to me and you're hearing the words that are flowing from my mouth, then if there's a nudge or an unction, then all I'm saying is get with a Bible-believing teaching church that's in your area and get connected, because tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow's not promised at all. Let me just do a little segue. This is a PR announcement, a public service announcement. Our days are getting shorter than they are longer. Our days are really getting shorter. So all I know is that, man, you can keep going happy hour looking for fulfillment. You can keep playing the same games that you was doing yesterday, 10 years ago. I got a buddy, love him dearly. But more sometimes when I talk to him, I just don't understand, you again, the fruit. I'm not sure, like, what's going on. That's my man, but 50 grand, as we used to say. But, dude, come on, at some point, we got to be beyond just a booty call. How much booty do you need? You see what I'm saying? When is it ever good enough? It's not. And that's because you keep feeding the wrong thing, and it keeps growing. But what happens is sin is one of those things that pushes us further and further away from the loading, from the dock. And the further you are from the dock, out to sea that you are, you can't get refueled and replenished the way you need to be. So if you just call it for what it is, and just be real and say, you know what, I ain't got all the answers. I'm telling you right now, I ain't got all the answers. All I'm saying is that I want to be close to the doc and to the doc who gives me the source of strength of life. And that's it, my man, Jesus Christ. I'm rolling with him. Because he did what Allah didn't do. He did what Buddha didn't do. He did what Confucius didn't do. He died, he rose, and he rose with all power. Not with just some power. So I'm saying this is an invitation for maybe for somebody to accept him and be like, oh, yo, dude, I hear about this man. And guess what? He got the number one selling book that's out in America. It has been. So, you know, that's all I'm saying. You know, so I welcome you to try him out for yourself. Hey, guys, I'm writing this piece. Before we go, I want to share with you. This is something I'm really excited about. I don't know if you guys have read the last piece I wrote. But a couple weeks ago, I wrote, JB, I wrote this piece. And it's a little long. I have two articles. But I did. It just wasn't in my spirit to do so. And it was titled, What Side of Liberty Are You On? You know, a couple weeks back, we know the situation that happened with Terrence Crutcher. So it's sad that things keep happening, and they keep happening. So what I did is I want to take you back a little bit and tell a story. And so this is an article that you can find on my website, on my Facebook page. So if you want to go to the website, it's under the blog section. Read it. It will encourage you and it will inspire you. But I hope that and pray that it will be a clarion call for you to action, to know after I've read this, where do I stand? You know, because at the end of the day, I could be Terrence Crutcher. You could be Terrence Crutcher or any of those people that were innocently, you know, slain, if you will. And I'm not speaking out or spitting out or spewing out like, you know, violence in any way or, you know, we need to rebel. No. Because my belief is that we need to, as the church, we need to teach the reconciliation of Jesus Christ. And who is the church? I'm glad you asked. I'm writing an article now that will help define that for you. I'm writing an article now that's titled, Is the Church on Life Support? Is the Church on Life Support? And so there's some data that's out there that shows some things that we shouldn't be happy with. We don't have to see the data. We can see the reality. You know, we can see reality on TV, JB Toy, that what's happening. So I'm just raising the question. First of all, who is the church? You know, and I think we need to really define that. What's the role? What's the purpose of the church? I pray that this article, when it's finally released, will answer some of those questions for you. Maybe you're a wandering generation. Maybe you're going from happy hour to happy hour, looking for fulfillment and not finding it. Maybe you're not clear on your purpose. But I said this the other day. I taught this class, JB, on needs and expectations in relationships. What's the difference between a need and expectation? And I said, well, listen, as we are in a Christian setting, the basic expectation for a Christian, one who calls himself having a right relationship with Jesus Christ, the basic expectation is that we should know how to introduce someone else to Christ. Would y'all agree? Yes or yes?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
absolutely, the basic necessity is that we should be able to introduce somebody, because the Great Commission in Matthew 28 gives us the command to do so, you know, and so we have to carry out our commission and our mandate. And so I'm going to write an article that I've written most of the article now. But it's a heavy, thought-provoking article, and I'm just raising the question, is the church on life support? Maybe I'll phrase it this way. Is Chris on life support? Is Toy on life support? Is JB on life support? Because at the end of the day, we are the church. Well, 9:55, JB, you got any closing comments that you would like to share for the good of the audience tonight?
Well, I just want to say that I hope and pray that everyone that is seeking to fix their happiness don't be given the happy hour, but very much concur with the young lady that if you're not happy with yourself, you're not going to be happy with anybody else or anything else. So you definitely have to fulfill that inner happiness. And again, I truly agree that it comes from the Most High. It comes from God above. And once you have that happiness, everything else just falls into place. And I can speak that personally. So I thank you so much for inviting me this evening. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Hey, you were great. You were great. You are welcome to come back and hang out with us again. We do this Monday nights at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10. This is our happy hour. Pun intended.
Yes. Yes.
What is it?
Yes.
Toy, machine gun toy, what do I need to say? But I don't want to say anything. I want to give you the closing words. Take us home.
Thank you, Chris. For those, you know, the topic was talking about should married people go to happy hour. I want to challenge each and every person that's married, and for those who aren't, to store this up for when you are married, if you do hope to be married. Go back to the scripture where it says that, you know, God is the head of the man, and then the man is the head of the woman, and the woman is to submit unto the husband, but also as unto the Lord. If the man loves the wife, he loves the church and gave himself up for it. So why do you bring those scriptures up? Well, the reason why is this. Because at the end of the day, if you find that you are not happy in your situation with your spouse, go to the source of the love, which is God, because God is love. And I guarantee that if you go to the right source, you'll never run out of resources, because he is that source of joy. He is that source of healing. He is that source of dunamis power, for miracles, signs, and wonders beyond anything you could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Because all things are yea and amen, and they come by us. So if we want to change in our marriages, we have to be that change. Thank you.
Let the church say amen. That's it right there. That is it. We don't need to say nothing else but play that organ on the way on out. That one right there would be like, woo! Listen, this has been good. Thank you all for rolling with me tonight. I do really appreciate you guys jumping on and shout out to JB, just because I've never met you, you know, or anything, but your commentary was spot on. I ain't have to mute you. I ain't have to, you know, like hang up on you, like, oh, I must have lost her. None of that. So it was well needed, well seasoned. I do appreciate you rolling with that. So, Toy, I don't need to say nothing else. I mean, you know, your husband to be, he'll tell you the rest. So you've done a great job as usual. Well done. You know,
Thank you.
So, ladies, it's been a treat. So thank you guys. Good night, and tune in next week at Monday night at 9 p.m. for next week's show, okay? God bless and good night.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.